All right, quickly, let's conclude what we have been discussing concerning the Word of God, a series of discussions that we titled Where Life Begins. Let's first of all read from the book of Isaiah chapter 37. I want to read again one of those scriptures I refer to as one of my favorites. Now, I don't want to read the whole thing in context here, just a principle I want to lift out from what the Lord told Ezekiah through the mouth of Isaiah. This was when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, had threatened fire and brimstone on Isaiah and Ezekiah. And Ezekiah had prayed to God concerning it. Let me just start from verse 30 so as to bring out the principle I want to see today. He said, "Then this shall be a sign for you. You shall eat this year what grows of itself, in the second year what springs from the same, and in the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit." Now you'll discover, verse 31, a principle, all right? He said, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." He said, "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." Let me read that verse 31 again. "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." Now, quickly, keep a finger there and just jump to the next about three books ahead. The book of Ezekiel chapter 31. There are a few scriptures I want to read today. Then I'll begin to say what I want to say. Let's just read about four or five of them. Read all of them together, so I'll refer to them as I go on without having to come back to them. Ezekiel chapter 31, again, it's a principle I want to bring out from here, not the context of the whole thing, just a principle that is stated in one of the statements that the Lord made concerning Assyria. He said, let me start from verse 3, and we're going to verse 4. He said, "Behold, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon, with beautiful branches and forest shade, and very high." That is, Assyria is being likened to a tree, a cedar in Lebanon. He said, "Its top was among the clouds." That it was quite a high tree. That's how high it used to grow. It was a pride of Lebanon, actually. If you remember, when Solomon was going to build the temple, that's where he got his trees from. The wood that they used, all right? If you read through the scriptures, you see the cedar in Lebanon is described again and again. It's a matter of pride, just like you talk about the eagle, talk about the lion. The Bible talks about the cedar in Lebanon as one of those things they used to describe majesty. Now he said, it had beautiful branches and forest shade, and it's very high. Its top was among the clouds. He said in verse 4, this is where I'm going. This is the principle I want you to get from here. The waters made it grow. The deep made it high. That is, water has two levels. All right? He said, with the rivers, it continually extended all around its planting place, and it sent out its channels to all the trees of the field. That first line is what I want to bring up from that verse 4. It described the growth of the cedar in Lebanon. It said, the waters made it grow, which is understandable. Everything needs water to grow. But that the height that this cedar of Lebanon will attain to, or it attains to, is because of the depth to which it's able to send its roots. Now, please notice that. It said, the waters made it grow. The deep made it high. That is, it's not just the fact that it had waters around it. It's that the main thing is that it was able to tap into water that was very deep. Are you getting the point? Now, please bear that in mind. I'm quickly open to the book of John again, the one we know very well, the book of John chapter 1. The Gospel according to John. Now, I want you to notice something when you are reading. Try and know, this just by the way, for those of you who love to study the scriptures, there are things that are in parentheses, that are in brackets, that are just interjected in there to explain a principle, not really to disrupt the flow of events. That is, you see verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, all right? Down to, from verse 1 to verse 5 is the beginning of the discussion, and it continues in verse 14. Everything in between is just in parentheses, all right? So I'm going to jump verses 6 to 13 because they're supposed to be in brackets, kind of. We're just trying to explain something as we're going on, all right? The main discourse continues in verse 14. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, that is the Word. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or was not able to overcome it. You now say the next verse, if you continue in the context, like I was explaining to you earlier, is verse 14. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, I'm going to stop there, really. What I want is verse 14. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word that was in the beginning, continuing verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we're able to behold His glory. Now, these are the main scriptures I want to use to explain what I want to discuss today, and then I hope this will be the end of our series on where life begins. Like I said to you a few weeks ago, my understanding of it is that God is actually calling people back to focusing on the Word of God. And why do I say that? And you see, don't ever feel like Elijah, you are the only one that's serving God. There are many people who are doing the things of God. The other day I was in my office, I told you, a friend of mine and I were talking, and he said he started a series in their church a few weeks ago, and he titled it the same thing, The Word of God. And if I showed some of you my notes I made when I wanted to start this series, and the title was The Word of God. Just that as I began to teach, I sought for a more tightly titled, you understand what I'm saying? So I would just call it Where Life Begins. It's the same thing we've been talking about. I believe the Holy Spirit is calling people back to center on God's Word. What we have a lot of times these days in Christianity is that we are centered on every other thing apart from the Word of God. We often center on church activities. We do that a lot. We do that a lot. In fact, I heard myself say it while we're editing materials for TV, that it appears that most church programs these days are built around developing the denomination. Now, I don't mean that to be critical, you know what I'm saying? And like I said to you, if I said there are some trucks that don't have red lights, is that criticism? It's just an observation. Are you getting my point? It's a matter of fact that some people cross the road without looking. Am I abusing anybody? It's just an observation. Is that okay? Some men wear their shirts without ironing. It's not. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just observing, all right? So, it's just an observation. I'm not trying to criticize. But it's a matter of fact that a lot of times we build activities around building up our denominations. In fact, a lot of times when we say we are doing evangelism, this is a matter of fact. And I'm pointing these things out so that anybody hearing it will take correction. A lot of times we say we are doing evangelism. We're not trying to evangelize people. We're trying to grow our congregation. Do you get my point? That is, we want to see that our numbers are increasing. That's what we call evangelism. So when we go out, we're not going out to help the man, all right, who is maybe is a sinner. We're not trying to help the woman who needs Christ in her life. What we want is that, please, come to church, let our number increase, and let pastor know that we have been working. We do that, you see, it's an unconscious in our minds. So don't feel bad, just take correction. I hope you get what I'm saying. If you're like that, don't feel bad, just take correction. You know, the other day I was reading Jack Hayford. You know, I quote him a lot because I have a lot of his materials I'm reading these days. Jack Hayford said once, he was talking with one man, and a nice, responsible man with a family, you know, successful man. And he just started the church that time. And he said to himself, this man will be good in that church, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of pastors want it. You want settled men who will come and help you in church, you know. They help you both physically and financially. You understand what I'm saying? You see, a man like that, of course, if you, for example, if you are preaching that he must tithe and he comes and he's successful, you understand my point? He has quite some money. And he tithes, and you have a number of people like that. The church is doing well, you understand? You have this face of, we have responsible people in our church. So, it's like I told you, it's an unconscious thing, right? You just have to work against those things. So, Jack Hayford said, there was a man he was supposed to minister to. And when he saw the man, he told himself that, this man will be good in this church, you know, that kind of thing. It was shortly after that the Holy Spirit told him, I'm putting my own words now, but the Holy Spirit corrected him, that this, something must be wrong with your head. Are you worried about your church, about the soul of the man? then he realized the mistake he was just making. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people make those mistakes. You think that, okay, this is, let's gather people so that our church will grow and our church will look like we are doing well. Like I said, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to let you know that if you are thinking like that, you must be corrected. As a pastor, that should never, never be the thing in your mind. If you see a man like that, he needs Christ just like everybody else. In fact, just by the way, now I'm digressing, but you learn from all of these things, don't you? The Sunday Adelaja will tell you, when he started church in Ukraine, the church is now the talk of the world, not the talk of town anymore. His church is not talk of town. His church is too big to be talk of town. It's now talk of the whole world. The largest church, I think, in Europe, all right? It's one church of 99% white people, pastored by a black man. All kinds of things about the church. But this is the point. When it started, the only way the church had credibility was that the people that went there, are you getting what I'm saying, were the total outcasts of the society. You know, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, you know, the homeless, the poor, they were the ones that went to the church. Are you getting my point? Not that the church will do well with these kind of people in there. No. It was the word that he preached that turned those people. After a while, the government noticed that this man is doing something nobody else is able to do. Let me tell you this just by the way. If you really want to make a mark for Christ Jesus, you must be careful not to follow the way of the world. You must be careful. As I go on today, I'll show you what God is trying to do in life. He said the word became flesh. What God wants you to do is to learn his precepts. All right? Walk according to his principles. Walk according to his commandments. Do things because he said do them. Then his glory will be seen. He said the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we did what? We beheld his glory. The only way God gets glory in life is that the word becomes flesh. You cannot scheme glory for God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't see a man who was sick, who is about to get well. You quickly go and rush and pray for him so that they will think it's your prayer. I don't know what I'm going to say. Listen, go and look for the one that's about to die. Pray for that one. When he gets well, when the word has become flesh in him, you can't look for people who are successful and drag them into your church and you want God to take glory. He can't. For what? Because the word is not becoming flesh. I've heard pastors complain a lot of times. One day a friend of mine said, some of us friends were talking, was cautioning another person, another minister, that, hey, listen, the man was complaining that the problem he has is that the church is full of young people, you know, no rich people. Like, he looked at him and said, that is the way life begins. What's wrong with you? That's how churches are supposed to begin. They're supposed to be full of people who are just starting out in life. If you want people who have succeeded, you're not ministering to them. They are ministering to you. I mean, what is the job of a pastor? You want to go and preach amongst the rich so they will bring money for you. You don't know anything yet. The word is not becoming flesh in that place. You are looking for flesh and then trying to use it to cover the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sunday Adelaja, look, after he tried to build church, suddenly the Holy Spirit, through many ways, explained to him, so, but this is not how they do it. The man decided to go and start ministering to the people who were totally rejected in the society. Then when they became strong because of the infusion of the word into them, everybody took notice. That's what it meant when he said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's the way it is. That, you see, a lot of things we are doing in Christianity is just human reasoning, human schemings. Are you getting my point? But what God is trying to do in this season is to bring us back to the center of it all. I just suddenly felt like issuing a prophetic word. Okay, let me say it to you so that if you're listening to this, you're a preacher. Over the next few years, if you don't take this turn, your church will close. Let me say it again. If you don't make this correction and stop building according to the order of men and start building on the word of God, your church will close. It will close because members will just walk away, or it will close because of crisis. But one way or the other, you will soon close down. Now, most of you here are not pastors. So I guess it's somebody who will listen to this by CD, on the internet, on TV, that will take correction from what I've just said. The thing just came to my mind as a flash just now. That over the next few years, watch it. All right, God has allowed all kinds of places to open in the name of church. All right? There are things my friends and I, my wife and I, will sit down sometimes and we'll consider, say, what's going on here? In fact, earlier on today, I was calling my wife. Thank God she didn't even answer me. She couldn't hear what I was saying. I was asking her a question. Say, I can't hear you, right? I was in the bathroom. I was shouting for her to hear something. No, she was in the bathroom. I was in the room. I was cleaning something. I wanted to ask her a question about denominations, actually. I guess that's a question maybe the Holy Spirit was telling in my heart. And that's the answer for it, all right? Doors, all kinds of doors have opened. You see, there's what the Bible says, all right? Paul was saying that in the time of ignorance, God just overlooked some things. So many churches have opened to feed the pastor. Now listen to what I'm saying. Many churches have opened to increase the name of the denomination. Many churches have opened, are you getting my point? To do all kinds of things. Some churches have opened to demonstrate the gift upon a man. A man just said, okay, hey, you think you can gather 1,000 people? Just watch me. I was preaching before you were born. I'll gather 2,000 just to prove to you I'm superior to you. They have opened. No, listen, if you know the kind of things that human beings think about, you'll be shocked. And God has allowed those things to open. And they have flourished. You will be, please, I use some bad language once in a while, but I need to say it. You will be a fool as a minister in southern Nigeria of today to think your church is big because you are anointed. Let me say it to you again. You will be very, very mad to think, to have the impression that the reason why your church is large is because you have the ability to gather a crowd. It's not true. That's a mistake people make. They think that Yonggi Cho had a principle for gathering 1 million people. It's nonsense. It's a lie. There's no principle for gathering 1 million people. 1 million people were prepared before he was born. Go and read his stories. He will tell you that the assemblies of God prayed in that country before he came into ministry. People who don't understand, they want to go and learn principle of gathering a church of 1 million. You can't do it just because you learn some principles. Those people were prepared before Yonggi Cho gave his life to Christ. I have learned enough of spiritual things to know what I'm saying is true. If you think in Nigeria you are gathering a large congregation because you know how to preach, around nonsense. Sometimes I watch on TV, I see congregation, I listen to the man, I see the people, I listen to the man, I can't reconcile the two. His English is bad. If he's preaching in local language, he doesn't even know how to speak it well. Half of the miracles he's claiming are false. You know, all you need to do is be a doctor, just watch some of those miracles. If a man shouts and said, I was healed of staphylococcus, you know, the pastor is ignorant, he is stupid. Yeah, look, listen, I have seen publications, testimony, praise the Lord, I was healed of staphylococcus. What is staphylococcus? I'm a doctor. I know most of those things there. Emptiness, empty babbling. You hear some testimonies, you'll be ashamed for Christ. Say, Jesus, please forget. They didn't mean to embarrass you. Na ignorance. But the church, see number. So you know it's not an anointing at all. That is resident demand. There's something I'm going to explain. Eh? So what is happening, you will see. I'll tell you simply. It is the call of God gathering people in those places. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not your anointing. It's just the thing that's in the air at this season. Oh God, I wish you get my point. If you read Kenneth Hagin, he will tell you those days of the healing movement in America. He said all you needed to do as a preacher was pray for the sick. You will see miracles you have never seen before. Now the thing was just in the air. It had little or next to nothing to do with the people who were ministering. It was just in the air. And I dare to say Nigeria today, it's in the air like that. It's in the air. It's very common. A man go look for work, you know, see. In his church, they just give him title. Pastor. That's it. Church, 500 people. How did he become pastor? Joblessness. Not anointing of any sort. It's just something that's in the air in this season. So if you enter your church, you're a pastor, and you see congregation to the left and to the right, please, don't be impressed. Don't for a moment think that you are powerful. Don't for a moment think that you have too much sense. Don't for a moment think that you have a special grace to gather people. If I were you, I would be afraid. You know why? Because in a short while, as they walked in by themselves, you want to finish it? They're about to walk out also. And let me tell you what happens to people a lot of times. Is the Jeroboam principle. When God, what did Jeroboam do to become king in Israel? Please, who can tell me? Nothing. God just said, let me punish the house of David. So what will I look? There was one young man who ran away from the house of Solomon. His name is Jeroboam. Now, the Holy Spirit moved him back. You understand? The prophet gave him 10 tribes in Israel. And Jeroboam became a king. That's just all that happened. A lot of people are pastors now because God said, I just want to gather people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going somewhere. When Jeroboam realized that he will soon lose this congregation, you know what he did? Go and read the story. He began to scheme, use human imaginations, all right, to ensure they don't leave him. Now, this is what I'm trying to explain, all right? If you don't want your church to close, God allowed all of those things so that people have been gathered now. It is now time for you to center everything upon the word of God. And if you don't know how to do it, it is not a shameful matter. Become the presiding bishop. Sit down. Appoint one young man to be doing the preaching. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. It's not a shameful thing. It's not compulsory. Why am I saying all of these things? People came here to learn something else. Let me just finish. I'll get to the thing you came to learn. It is not compulsory, that as the head of the church, the assembly, you are the pastor of the church. It's not compulsory. It is not compulsory that the man who preaches is the administrative head. It's not compulsory. You can have the head deacon being the administrative head of the church. They hire preachers. Nothing wrong with it. When I was young, I thought it was absurd. It's not absurd. Settle down. Don't go and enter into an office that God didn't send you to. You will just die for nothing. Settle down and let the word of God fill the place. If you are not anointed to serve it, settle down. Use your anointing to be a good administrator to bring in those who can serve it. I hope that he that has an ear will listen to what the Spirit is today saying to the churches. I know what I'm saying. Because I believe very strongly, we have played enough. God has allowed us to play to the left and to the right. He said, it is now time, everybody, settle on what is important. It is the word of God that is the center. It is not naming names, dressing a particular fashion, talking a particular fashion. You know, Christianity, we have all kinds of things. There's a way you see somebody, you know the church is dressed, he's coming from. You understand my point? There's a way he talks, you know the church is coming from, just by talking. Yes. Yeah, people, you know, start speaking, you know this one. This is the church he came from. And I mean, when I say dress and speak, I mean both ways. You get my point? You can dress like Deeper Life. You can dress like Christ Embassy. And, do you understand? People, you all look at you're a Christian, and you're dressed like this, and you're coming from this particular church. They will know. And God is not angry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, let me tell you, he's not angry. That here name, man. Eh? Some things don't vex God at all. You see, what is a pastor doing with title? God has never been angry. Just don't call yourself the Most High God. Once you avoid titles like that, the rest are free. You know, once names like the Almighty, Omnipotent, All-Sufficient, All-Knowing, you get my point? Avoid titles like any other one is free. Most Senior Apostolic Deacon is free. Supreme Evangelist, there's no quarrel. Highly regarded pastor, it's the will of God. Don't worry yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Call yourself any name you like. God knows the vex. Wear any robe you like. I wish you would understand. Look, I saw a man once. He was praying. I was watching him on TV. He said, God, you that have called me as a pastor to the whole world. I said, only you. I could not believe my ears. But this is the interesting part. I know the Lord is not angry. You are the pastor of the whole world. I don't care. After you have finished deceiving yourself with all kinds of titles, you know what God is saying? Bring out the word of God and serve the word of God to people. Or at least allow it to be served. If you do that, I will forgive you of all the titles you have called yourself and all the robes you have worn that I did not make for you. I will never take those things to heart as long as you allow the word to still be the central thing in the lives of people. Let me tell you what success is again. Success is not making a lot of money. Success is not in the outward show of things in life. Success is in being totally conformed with what God wanted you to be. Are you getting my point? If you're a thief and you come to church to pay a tithe or steal money, and therefore the church makes it looks rich. That whole church is a failure. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. That is, the point is not about the fact that we look rich and successful. The point is that from here, we are able to send people out who enter into the world and they were not corrupted. That's what success is. Let them return poor, we don't care. But let's have a testimony that they entered into the world and they were not corrupted. You know? Please, I'll get down to my message, all right? Let me just keep talking. Things are just coming to my mind. I hope you don't mind. Now, I was listening to the book of, I think, Jeremiah the other day. And I noticed that God was angry. You know why God began to destroy Israel and all of that? He said, go and check it. There's not one. He told Isaiah the same thing. He said, there's not one that's doing good. That all of them have gone crazy. All of them are walking iniquity. And you know, and as I was listening to it, all right, and reading, different, both in, you see Micah, you see in Jeremiah, you see in Isaiah, especially Isaiah and Jeremiah, all right? I realized that what God was saying, that before I start destroying people, I don't know what I'm doing. Before I came down to Sodom and Gomorrah, I first checked. You know, I've explained to you here before that we make you look at Abraham was bold. He could intercede. He was going to get God not to destroy the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah and their surrounding cities because of 10 righteous people. You see, he was very bold. He should be bold in intercession. That's one way. You know, there are many sides to the thing. Bible talked about the many-sided wisdom of God. I realized one thing. That was not the main thing God was trying to show there, though that was also correct. What was he trying to show? God was saying, Abraham, in effect, if you think I would have come down if there were 10 righteous people, you don't know the kind of person I am. So it was like a challenge. God, will you destroy everybody, righteous and the wicked? God said, I know, I'm not supposed to do that kind of thing. Far be it from you to do wickedly. So I'm aware of that. Will you destroy there are 50 people, righteous? 50. 50. A whole 50. Me, Abraham. A whole 50. Of course I won't. Abraham said, good. They walked down till they got to 10. God, not to Abraham, you know, like we do. We bet. You know the way we do it. You bet. Cross your finger. Oh, yeah? That if there are 10 people, I wouldn't have come down. And God went through the place and did not find 10 people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's like as if I told Abraham. I told you. Now, that's not my gist. My gist is Nigeria of today. I've talked to people. Do you understand? That, you know, sometimes you want to have, you are happy that things are happening. Do you follow me? I mean, like, Nigeria is changing, amen? Stuff like that. And then at other times, you hear reports and your heart is almost discouraged. I mean, currently, PCA and CJ, you know, PCA. Uh-huh. You want me to say it fully? Okay, I'll say it. President of the Court of Appeals and the Chief Judge, the head of the Supreme Court and the head of the Appeals Court, they are quarreling. Because the head of the appeal court is telling us that the head of the Supreme Court instructed him to turn justice in a particular way, not regarding what is right or what is wrong. Now, there are men who don't make flimsy accusations. He deposed to an affidavit to make that statement. My brother, if you're not afraid, that's cause for fear. When men began to tell me things after, I was afraid almost. There was a man I was with. Okay, I was talking to somebody. He was with, listen to me, members of tribunal, that is election tribunal. And they are sitting, but all they are discussing is who paid the most. That is so bad. I mean, do I need to tell you, go to magistrate courts. Listen, if you think the policeman on the street is corrupt, you're joking. He's a normal human being, Nigerian. Somebody was telling me that to see, should I mention names? Just to talk to a first lady, I won't tell you whether it's a country or a state, or I won't tell you. Just to say, I want to see madam, you pay 3 million naira. In this country of today. You know, the last PDP primaries, each delegate got $10,000. That's why plenty of money is coming to the country for election, yet the cost of dollar keeps rising. Why? Because guys are dealing with in currency so big, in amount so big, they can't carry it in naira. Look, it's not hidden gist. A friend of mine was telling me that, somebody told me that, I forgot to put your name. I will have put your name as a delegate. I'm serious. His friend was telling him This is a reliable person. You know? He was telling me that his friend who's in PDP told him that, Kai, it didn't cross my mind. I would have just put in your name as a delegate. Though the guy's not a delegate, he was not going to vote. I will just put in your name. Just come to Abuja that day, collect your $10,000 and walk away. I'm going somewhere in all of these things. You go to the market, somebody wants to cheat you. You think that God doesn't know. You know, you read the Bible sometimes, that God says, there's none righteous. God says, I counted amongst 10 million people, and there was not one righteous. No, not one. There's a reason why I'm saying this. This is actually for pastors. If you don't want your church to close, better start winning your church members of this mentality that money is all that matters. Stop giving politicians front seats. Tell them you don't want their tithes and offerings. I know what I'm saying, so. Because what God is looking for is not money. I hope you get my point. Listen, the gospel will say that it rides on the wing of money. Go and read the whole of the book of Acts. Where did you see that? Pastor Bank, I said they didn't spend money. They did. But the money was not the central thing. Therefore, they did not discuss it. I don't know where I get my point. Yes, I mean, if it was so crucial, they would have been discussing it. To be deceiving ourselves that gospel needs money to ride is a lie. It's a lie. Let me tell you what the gospel needs. It said, guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth. 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 Listen, no matter the amount of money Islam spends, they can't ride in majesty. Why? There's no truth. I don't know what I get my point. You can control billions and billions and billions of US dollars, but there's no truth you are trying to propagate. Is it Hasfat or Alfat, whatever? That's a youth wing of Islam in Nigeria. Nasfat. They try to do what the gospel people are doing, and I laugh. They bought land on the express between Lagos and Ibadan, just like Redeem has, MFM has, Deeper Life has, everybody has. So they too, they went and bought. They organize camps also. They meet on Sundays. The pastors wear jeans and t-shirts. I mean, the imams. Because they think that it is the big drum. Guguka, du-du-du-ka, Islamic church. Because they think that it is about those things. No. The gospel spreads because of the truth that is contained therein. When truth needs money, it attracts it automatically. It doesn't raise it. Let me say it to you again. When truth needs money, if fish, that you just throw a stick like this, the fish will swallow money and bring it. That's why Jesus never raised the money. I'm not saying collecting money is bad. Are you getting my point? But it was never the central thing of preaching the gospel. When he would talk to the rich, you know what he used to tell them? Go and give to the poor. He was spending money, was he not? But when he met those who were not believers yet, who were not his disciples, he would tell them, go and give to the poor. Then you come back and follow me. What am I saying? God will destroy a nation, not because people are not going to church, but because they are not walking righteously. And the world is so corrupt. Listen, and God is not concerned about them. He's not. You know, sometimes when I'm watching American Christians gathering themselves to fight against homosexuality, to fight against abortion, to fight against the Holy, I say, bros, that is my brethren. My brethren, the fight you are fighting is unnecessary. You should have fought the first fight amongst yourselves. What are the fights I'm talking about? First fight yourselves. Eh? For pastors dropping one wife on Monday and mine another one on Saturday. Fight that one first. Fight it. Fight yourselves selling, you know, half of the TV time you are spending is to raise money. Fight yourselves on those things. Fight yourselves on merchandising the gospel. Fight. Quarrel amongst yourselves on those things. Call yourselves to order. Pray against yourselves, either for mercy or for judgment on such things. Then the world will fall in line. They will. What am I saying? What we need, what God needs, is for those of us who call ourselves Christians. Listen, it's good to be prosperous. Amen? Amen. You've heard me preach. You know I believe in it. But everything has stages. The other day we were talking about commandments. Their commandments have different powers. Somebody came to Jesus and said, which of these is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus said, what do you think? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. And Jesus said, that is true. But there's another one that's exactly like it, the same level, the same caliber, the same weight. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are you getting my point? Now you see, truths have levels. That's what Jesus was confirming. So certain commandments are not as weighty as that one. I'm bringing out something here. Is prosperity good? Yes. But its weight, the doctrine of prosperity, the weight is inferior to the doctrine of righteous living. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is called, seek never the kingdom of prosperity. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Prosperity is an added advantage. It's never the center. It's not the core. Therefore, testimonies of money without its testimony of the process, don't take it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The testimony of financial prosperity that does not include the testimony of the process through which it came, don't accept it if you're a pastor. Don't. Make sure everybody in church sits at the same level. Let nobody have special access to you because he's rich. That's what James warned about. It's crucial. It's very important. If you hear what goes on political circles and government circles in Nigeria, you'll be afraid. But listen, God is not expecting... No, think about it. An average PDP member who does not go to church, who is not a Christian, what do you expect? No, think about it. Now, what do you expect? Now, let me ask you. Do you think God is specially surprised that an unbeliever takes bribe for everything he does? No. He said, the devil is a liar. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. When he lies, he does what is normal. Even Jesus knew that. What shocks him, and go and read that Jeremiah and Isaiah was talking about, all right? What shocks him, in quotes, is when his people, you go to church and you can't deal with somebody because he's a Christian and not be watching your back. That's when God is concerned. When news about church members, you know, the other day, we had a pastor who had two wives and the church people did not know. And INEC money was in a bank account to the tune of 1 something billion. Are you getting my point? That's when God is concerned. See, there are two things. Number one, let's assume he's a believer. All right? How did he become that bad? Let's assume he's an unbeliever. How did you guys manage to promote an unbeliever to that level? Then you guys should watch yourself and stop talking about PDP. That's what God is saying. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. It's good to be prosperous. It is very good, but it's very inferior to having before God a sound testimony of walking in a manner that is pleasing to him. Do you follow the point I'm making? For that reason, the good Lord is calling us back to putting the word as central of everything we are doing. Let me give you that word again, because I believe it's very prophetic. Over the next few years, every pastor... Every congregation, every denomination that does not revert back, all right, no, it's called returning to the first love. You know what he said? I will remove your candle. That's what Jesus is saying. I will remove you from that post. You will lose your position. Churches will close. Now, please, listen to me. Don't start learning the principles of church closure. A friend of mine the other day, we were talking. I was telling him that I heard that they have removed this, your big guy, who all used to do, raise money. He said, it is because people were not bringing money. I said, my friend, do you do? He said, no, I don't. Why? He said, I don't care. I said, that's a pastor's attitude. Don't care.
You don't use the word of God to manipulate people into getting money because you claim they are not bringing money. I said, this is the principle of being a pastor. Teach the truth and pray. Any other thing beyond that, any money that doesn't come, you don't need it. Don't justify that it's because we don't have. I mean, what do you mean? How can you say it's because you don't have? You take the word of God and turn it into a manipulative tool. You start making merchandise of the gospel. Anyway, I knew long ago God wouldn't endure this for long. I believe over the next few years, you're going to start closing people down. I'm bringing an issue here. When God wants to close people down, you will start seeing prince, which is because they didn't have enough money. Therefore, they could not maintain the advertisement. Because you see, advertisement never grew the church. I was just patient, long-suffering towards all men, waiting for them to repent. When I got tired, you know, when my patience ran out, what did I do? I shut them down. Are you getting the point? I shut them down. Now, you can start saying that it's because of this, it's because of that. Don't worry yourself. The truth is that the reason why they closed down is because they did not make the word of God central, and I saw no point in keeping them open. Like I said, it looks like the first 45 minutes of my talk this morning is for those who are in ministry. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Don't ever forget. You are supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing will be added. Fine car for the pastor will be added. Good church building will be added. Good television programs will be added. Every other thing will be what? Added. They are not to be sought after, primarily in themselves. I hope you got my point. I said, I hope you have gotten my point.
Yes, sir.
All right, the Lord is good. Now, let's get that into the main thing I said I want to teach today. Now, if you remember last time, I made a number of points last time. Though the main thing I brought out was that one from the book of Proverbs chapter 8, that wisdom was saying that because of this special attributes of wisdom, because you guys now understand the importance and the advantages of wisdom, therefore, this is how a man gets blessing. He said, he watches daily at my posts. He said, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Wisdom was speaking. He said in verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 8, heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed, he said in verse 34, is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. He said, he who does this, all right, will find me and therefore find life. And he will by that obtain favor from the Lord. And any man who's not doing these things is injuring himself and is demonstrating his hatred for me, which is actually the love of death. And I explained that our faith is not just what we claim, all right, to want. Our faith is actually manifested in the things that we are willing to spend our energy and our time concerning. All right? So if a man really is looking to the word of God as a source of his life, where everything begins from, then he will do what wisdom is saying here. He will watch daily, all right, at wisdom's gates and wait at his doorposts. And like I said, in practical terms, it means that we spend our energy and our time seeking out the word of God, not waiting for it to be served to us freely. But if it will cost money, we go there and we go and get it. I hope you get my point. And I said something, let me just repeat that statement, that the doors of the realm of the spirit, the gates of the realm of the spirit, are controlled by the precepts that we obey. Are you getting me? And the word I used to prove that is that Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and my Father will make our abode with him. That is, if you are using the precepts of traditional Africa, then the gods of traditional Africa, they are your friends, and they live in your house. It's not about asking for them. And you can't cast them out. As you cast them out, they return. Once the door is open, they go in. That's just the way it works. So if you don't want the gods of traditional African villages to live in your house, and let me tell you, by the way, hear me, the traditional African gods are useless gods. They don't ever help anybody progress. I'm very happy I'm a black man. If a white man preaches this one to you, you'll be angry. So, me and you, in fact, I'm darker than 99% of the people here. You know that. So, let me tell you again. African gods are useless gods. They did not help the people progress. Are you getting my point? The more you walk towards them, the more you walk into backwardness. That is a matter of fact. Their principles are not the principles of God. I was thinking about it the other day. Somebody told me that where they come from, a woman can't be sitting down when a man is standing. I said, obviously, that is not God. Because God said, if your wife is standing and you are sitting, if you get up and let her sit down, that her legs are not as strong as yours. Is that what the Bible says? You know, there are things that just, you know, don't follow the precepts. Anyway, I'm not going over that again. You learn the things that are of the word of God. That way, the Father comes and makes his abode in your house. And what is the importance of God living in your house? It's very simple to understand. When Jesus saw, when the disciples were on the seas, and their boat was unsteady because the storm was tossing them up and down. When Jesus entered into the boat, what happened? The storm ceased. The storm did what? Ceased. So what we want is for God to live in our homes. So what we do is that we look for those precepts. Before we go into politics, we look for his precepts. And I said to you that the degree to which every king in Israel failed in his political career is directly tied to the amount of disobedience to the instruction that God gave to kings in Israel. That's just the way it works. So if you are going to be a businessman, God will give you, you will know general precepts and principles, and then there will be special testimonies, commandments that are for you alone. The degree to which you will fail as a businessman is the degree to which you don't adhere to those words. And the degree to which you will succeed is the degree to which you adhere to them and listen to this. And that's what I'm going today. And not just to adhere to the ones you know, but with which you seek for even those which you do not know. Because truth has levels. That's what I'm going today. He said, the waters made it grow. But what? The deep made it high. Listen to that. There's general truth. It's very important. But every believer, you must never, ever think that I know that one already. You must never think like that. There is nobody that knows everything about anything in life. And listen, there's always something more to experience in God. And let me say it to us again. Those things don't come by wishing for them. When God wants to give it to you, he sends you a word. And like we have seen, you have to search for it. You have to put yourself in a place where you know you are waiting for the word that he gave, or is given. Are you getting my point? That's why I said the waters made them grow. The deep, that's what I want to talk about today as I close. There are deep things in God, though. Are you getting my point? And you see, there's something about truth. I learned this long ago. In fact, the way the Lord showed it to me, there was a time in which I was just swimming in all kinds of understandings and revelations. This is when I was 7. One day I sat down. In fact, I wrote a teaching that day. I looked outside and I saw a cock. A cock landed on a rope, you know, this line for hanging clothes. Uh-huh. So the Yorubas have a saying. They said that the cock or the hen has landed on the rope. That neither the rope nor the hen is at rest. That none of them is at peace. And that day I saw it again. And the thing landed like this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the cock would not agree to go away. So they say, at the end, Banuku, Aroroku, Aroredi. That is both of them. Nobody was at peace. So I was that thing for a while. I went back into my house, brought out my piece of paper, and began to write a teaching on what do you stand. I still have it till today. The rope, was it strong? Yes, it could carry, I mean, those small birds, you know, those tiny, tiny birds that sing near your window. They will land on that thing and no wahala. Yes, no trouble. They had peace. The problem is that this cock was too big. And that's just how spiritual things are. What I'm telling is a matter of fact. Truths have levels. And the more you grow in God, to be steady in your spiritual walk, the deeper the amount of truth you need to keep yourself balanced. Listen, you have to work hard as Christians. Listen, Christianity is hard work when it comes to interacting with the Word of God. You know, I thank God for the understanding he has given me. Before, I used to wonder that, why are there people hanging on this kind of thing? I realized that they are young. There are things some Christians will quote. Hey, this is what God has said. I said, you think he said that? And they say, it's working for them. Amen. You will soon grow. It will soon stop working. Not because it's not true, but let me give you an example. This is just to give a simple example. You can tell every Christian, anywhere the soles of your feet tread, you shall possess. And he goes and says, I'm going to tread anywhere. It's good, first level. So he wants to claim every land for Christ. After a while, he will call him back and say, the same God that said anywhere your feet treads you possess, warn them where not to tread. If you get the land of the descendants of Esau, he said, don't touch that land. I won't give you as much as one square foot. The way you're standing, I won't give that one to you. If you drink their water, pay. Don't make them angry. Because if they get angry, I'm not going to defend you. One of the things you first start learning, when you start growing as Christians, is the law of boundaries. Just by the way, again, I'm just digressing. If you're a preacher, please. I believe the instructions, that one of the greatest set of instructions God gave for this generation of preachers was given through Kenneth Hagin. Go and read his books. If you're not a preacher, what I'm saying, don't worry too much about it. But if you are, please, go and read. He will warn you on how not to intrude into offices. If you are not a preacher, if you are not a pastor, don't try to be one. If you are a prophet, try and be a prophet. If he didn't call you a prophet and a teacher, don't prophesy and teach. Prophesy and get out. There are things that on the surface, they look like they are simple, sensible. Everybody should try and do it now. We need manpower. Look, there's a level you get to. They promote you to pastor in church. You go and tell the promoting pastor that you want to kill somebody. Yeah. Oh, God, please, I don't have time. I'm not going to do that today. I don't even have the time. We're not doing a ministerial meeting here. There are things that if they promote you into, you tell the person promoting you, say, Oga, is it that you are tired of me? You are looking for a trick to use to kill me. Like they wanted to promote the PCA into the Supreme Court. You know, if you've been following the political in Nigeria. You say, is that what you're trying to do? An average Christian wouldn't think like that. But when you have grown to a particular level, you need certain depths of truth to keep yourself safe. And what I want to teach you again today as I'm closing is that nobody is going to force that truth on you. You have to go and look for it for your own life's sake. The other day, brother told me, I heard that brother was going to pastor a church. He was sitting beside me. I said, what? He said, okay, I got banking. That's why I see him. I looked the guy. You are going to pastor a church. We thank God. I said, come, we need to talk. For what did I do? I quickly went and bought, I gave him a book, my book. Go and read it. When I read it, I said, you can have it. He said, no, I'm going to buy my own copy. He went and bought his own copy. He bought another one. I said, because you must know that truth, because it's important. You see, it's important that nobody fools you into thinking that the title pastor is a sign of spiritual promotion. It's not. Is a title for an office you occupy. And if you are not called to occupy that office, you are not inferior to those who are occupying it. Each man will receive his reward when he gets to the judgment seat of Christ according to his labor, not according to the office. You'll be surprised. I know if I say this, it will sound disrespectful, but I need to say it to bring your head to order. You'll be surprised the day of judgment. You and the GO, Bishop David, you'll queue on the same line. It will be, excuse me, age mate, all of you. You'll be it will happen one day. There's no good morning side there. No. Good morning side is only on the earth. Now, we're all servants of Christ before the judgment seat. And you'll be thinking that, what did I do compared to a man who built a university? God will say, okay, come here. That primary school I told you to build, how was it? He says, sir, the primary school I told you to build, how was it? Primary school. You know these my brothers. They were my elder brothers on the earth. They were building universities, so I thought that must be the way to please the Lord. So I bought land for university. He said, Gilbert, slap him. The point I'm making is that you think somebody is judging who built university or who did not build university. You will be shocked. They will judge you according to the gift you were given to build the primary school. I hope you are getting what I'm saying.
Listen, one of the problems in life, people are following other people's assignments in life. Hey, and they are building expectations for themselves based on other people's lives. This man has achieved this. You too, you must achieve exactly what the other person achieved, even though you are not sure in any way that God called you into that life. Again, I'm not teaching on that in detail. I'm just giving an example. At a particular level in life, you want to be everything for Christ. And God says, fine. Zeal is good. Then you start growing. To help you balance in life, you must understand deeper truths. You can't stay on one level and be quoting the same thing after 10 years. There are those who never can quote other thing than what their pastor said. The first 1 year after you give your life to Christ is ideal and perfect. The second year, it should decrease in frequency. At the third year, we should hardly hear it from your mouth more than any other thing, just that you are quoting a statement. You get my point? A matter of truth, not a matter of direction for your life. You hear me quote people all the time. But that is, I'm quoting the word of God that they have spoken. Not as if, what I'm operating by now is that this is what they said. This is what our papa said for this whole year. At this age, if I do some things, then God will slap me badly. Yeah, I'm serious. I know what I'm saying. Truth has what? Levels. And let me tell you something. I said it last time. Your life in this season as a believer is a reflection of the amount. Let me say this to you before I make that statement. I did a study of the book of Luke some time ago, many years ago. And I discovered something. The life of Jesus Christ was in stages. Can Hagin explain something when he was talking about anointings? He said you can, either Kenneth Hagin or John G. Lake, I'm quoting now, or both of them put together, but this is a truth I learned from reading the two of them. They explained something, I saw it in both, especially Kenneth Hagin, that the life of Jesus, the miracles that were manifested in his life, all right, they were in stages also. That you see a time when they will tell you that the multitudes came to him and many of them were healed. And there was a time you will read that all of them were healed. Oh, and there's a difference. When I was studying the book of Luke, I noticed something. That the life of Jesus also was in stages, like I said to you earlier. And this is what I noticed. Each stage was preceded by a revelation. Let me say that to you again. Before he moves to a new level, and that's the way the life of every believer is. It's preceded by a new revelation and a new understanding. The day the Gentiles came and met Philip and Andrew, want to see your master, Jesus did not answer the Gentiles. He moved to another level. The moment Gentiles began to seek him, he knew that crucifixion has come. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, before he even entered to the cross, even though he knew that he was supposed to go to the cross, I told you as believers, we have not been called to struggle, that is outwardly. You know where you struggle? At home. What do I mean by struggle at home? You struggle in prayer, you struggle with the scriptures. When Jesus knew that it was time to go to the cross, it's not fight. If you can't go to the cross, please don't go. Let me say it again. If you can't go to the cross, don't what? Don't go. He said, this is Pastor Banky. He's a lazy man. Yeah, I like that. I like it like that. I'm very safe the way I am. What do I mean? When Jesus was supposed to go to the cross and he could not go, where did he go? He went to the garden. And he stayed in the garden until he was able to go to the cross. We've discussed that one here before in the school of prayer. He didn't just get up and say, hey, yeah, let us go to the cross. You know, when Peter was saying, we will go to the cross, all of us, Jesus looked at him and said, it's not your fault. You don't do anything. He said, it's not your fault. You don't do anything. You go to the cross. He said, yes. You go to the cross. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Cross or you deny me 3 times. He said, before the call cross 3 times, you go to all swear and say, you don't know me. If it doesn't mean me, move better. How much? You know, Peter forgot.
That's how I did with zealous men. But the Lord Jesus, because of understanding, he didn't do that. When it was time to go to the cross, he went to the garden. He knew he needed strength. He needed strength not to run away when he would see the cross. He needed the strength. He knew he needed it. So he went into the garden and stayed there until the cross was no longer an issue. When it was time to face the cross, he was the one that came out. Peter wanted to fight. I said, Peter, relax. Relax. Chill. Think about it for a second. Come on. Calm down. If I wanted deliverance, don't you think I could have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels and they would have wrapped up this matter? Relax. Marcus, bring your ear. Don't mind Peter. What I'm trying to say, he was very calm. He was very calm. I told you then, the day I first mentioned it, my wife and Joy were watching Mel Gibson beat Jesus Christ in my sitting room. And I told Joy, I said, it's not paining him. He said, sir, what do you mean? I said, it's not paining him. How can I beat a man like this and it's not paining him? I said, it's not because the beatings were not painful, but because he came to this point having suffered greater pain in the garden. Yeah, you need to beat him to bleed. In the garden, he bled without anybody touching him. The agony was suffered in the garden. By the time he came out of the garden, he had enough endorphins running around his brain. Those of you know physiology, you know what I'm saying? To calm all the physical pain down. I know what I'm saying. That's why I told the whole story. Before he could come out of the garden, the Bible said that angels came and did what? Ministered to him, they strengthened him. This is a question. What did they do to him in strengthening him? I don't have all the time to explain why I came to this conclusion. I believe they painted pictures for him. I believe they showed him the glory. God, because you see, the Bible said that he signified these things by angels. When God wanted to give John the Baptist, all right, revelations, he sent them by angels. So the same angels brought revelations to the man, Jesus Christ, and showed him the picture. So the Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, I believe that was in that garden, they set something before him. What am I saying? For him to be able to go to the cross, there was another level of revelation that was given to him. I've said to you before, if you're a business person, you're in a career, there are times you have to go to the valley of the shadow of death for you to reach the next level. But listen to me, you can't go to that valley wandering. You go to that valley having gone to the garden. You come to that valley, they'll say, this investment will take everything that you have, yet your soul will know that, yes, if I perish, let me perish. But this is the only way forward. You will go with confidence. But don't go until you have that understanding. That's what I'm saying. Life is in levels. I was going to make a statement. Your life, in fact, let me quote a friend of mine, Courage, the way he said it. I call him Archbishop. The way he said it is so beautiful. So that I'd rather quote him than tell you my own words. He said, where you are right now is a reflection of what you were doing, or let me use my own words, you were hearing in the past. What you will be tomorrow, where you will be tomorrow, is a reflection of what you are hearing today. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you want to go to a higher level, are you getting me? You must hear a deeper thing. That's what it says. It said, the waters made them grow. The deep made them high. The waters made them grow. The deep made them high. You will find that after a while, your confessions will change. Not because you forgot the former one, but he entered into a different level. He did. It's so important. You see, one of the things about Christians, we copy acts too much, other people's actions, without copying, without having understanding. That's why, you know, I've said to you before, you see people say that in our church, we don't take medicine. And they don't take medicine, and they fall sick, and they die. Is it because it is wrong to say, I don't take medicine? No. But the man who founded the church did not take medicine. He did not fall sick. And when he fell sick, he refused to take medicine and he did not die. He got healed. He faced those who were sick, killed the sickness out of their bodies. I remember some of the stories I read. John G. Lake, or even E.W. Kenyon. Some of those men, before they pray for you, you will repent of the sin of seeing a doctor. I don't know what I heard I said. You went to see a doctor. Before you came to see me, repent. Kneel down. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive me. I went to see a human agent. I'm telling you. And don't think they are joking. What a doctor couldn't solve, they will solve it. What am I saying? They didn't just make a statement, we don't go to medicine, we don't take medicines. No. They had a depth of understanding. Are you getting my point? Which was what they were uttering. If you don't have it, don't talk nonsense. To see a doctor is not a crime. If that's, Kenneth Hagin, with all the healing that he preached, when his wife needed a surgery, he sent her to a doctor. Why? Simply because he had prayed for her, he knew the thing was not connecting. So he called her and said, listen to this, what can you believe? Now listen to me. He asked her, what can you believe? Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. So it's the depth to which you can believe. So he asked her, what can you believe? The woman said, I can believe that I will have a successful surgery. I can believe I will heal very well. He said, fine. So he held her hands and prayed, and she had a successful surgery and healed in record time. Before that, he was so sure that this woman is going to die early. And she knew in her heart, if she went for that surgery, she would come out dead. He had experiences before that in which he prayed for her and God told him simply that she's not going to die. You know, many things played together. Are you getting my point? And that's how she went. She finally died 2 or 3 years after him. And they were both in their 80s. People just come here and quote in our church. The man who said, I don't take medicine, took something. You have not taken anything. I mean, in life, you must take something. You must take something. You must use something. You don't say, well, they are using something. You have to use something too. If you're around on Tuesday, I told you, if you join politics, every politician uses something. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
They use something. He said, therefore, I won't join. No, as Christians, you also use something. We use something. Amen?
Amen.
We use something. Our own is just like their own. It's more powerful, more intense, and it's cheaper for us. It doesn't cost money. We don't kill our children. We don't sacrifice our wives. We just go to a corner, sit down, and start reading some dangerous psalms. I'm telling you, we fight temptations. That's all we need to do. Yes, all our own expenditure is in fighting of temptation. Hey, I'm telling you, we use something. There's no, let nobody tell you, hey, you know, there's some people that just say that. No, I don't believe in all those things. Yeah, look, when witch use your nose, rough floor, you wake up. Yes, but some of us, well, I tell you, I don't believe in all that. I know what I mean. I mean, I believe in things harder. Every witch that comes, I use his or her nose to rub floor. I am the nose rubber. You get my point? I'm the weakest soul. You get my point? Like Miles Monroe said, there are people making talk as if the devil said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Understand? So that we are fighting the gates of hell. Say, no, not like that. You are making it seem as if they are the ones advancing. And no. He said, the gates are for defense. So when they say the gates of hell shall not prevail, we are the ones attacking. The gates prevailing means that we can't enter. Gates are never for attack. No weapon, no army carries gates into battle. Gates are around what? Cities. So I was listening to Zimbabwean preacher, Tudor Bismarck. I was listening to him this morning, around 12:31 a.m. He was counting the different systems in the world. He counted like 20-something before I fell asleep. Also, political system, educational system, sporting system, entertainment system. I mean, he was counting the system, financial systems, economy. He said financial is different from economic. He explained and explained and explained. As he was saying, I said, I was catching it. That is, each one has a gate. The devil fenced it and built a gate. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell when we have revelation, the word of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail. That is, we will knock it down and knock them out. It was Miles Moore that first explained that to me. I shouted. He said, we are the aggressors. We're not the defenders. Satan is the one defending. Anyway, that's just by the way. What am I saying? We all use something. They are using something to defend. We have something we use to attack. When they go to shrine, the only difference is that they do those to shrine at night. We sleep at night. You know, those are the things. We have our own shrine sessions early in the morning. We wake up very early. We worship the Lord. We declare some dangerous scriptures against those who don't like us. Contend with them that contend with me. Let me not read some more. There are some that look very wicked. Make their wife widows, their children fatherless. You know, that doesn't sound nice. But when you join political party, please, that's a nice scripture. It's a nice scripture. Don't read all those ones. I have mercy upon who? You read the one that says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Do not forget their iniquities. You know, those are their... Have mercy upon me, but don't forget their iniquities. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We all use something. We must use something. You can't walk into battle without armor, without weapons. We use something. The weapons of our warfare are real. They are not of the flesh, but they are present. They are there, mighty through God. For pulling down of any PDP barrier, AC, ABGA, any, what's the name of the one, the new one, PDC, CPC, anyone that says that the will of God will not be done, down. We have weapons. The Lord is good. Let me just say what I'm saying. I want to close. What I've tried to bring out here today is that as you are walking with God, you have new levels of truth each season. Before you move into a new season, you must have a new level of truth. I've been talking a lot because of the season in Nigeria about political matters. There are people that a time will come, God will start nudging them. This politics thing is the kind of thing I want people like you to do. Just start hearing and feeling, you know, in that area. You don't just get up and suddenly decide that, okay, I'm not a politician. No. You first settle down and start digging. What has God said about political office? What has he said about getting there? What is this saying about me now in my life? You keep on reading. You keep on studying. You keep on praying. You pray, you read, you pray, you read. You listen to teachings until something is sure inside you. Are you getting what I'm saying? For example, take ministry as an example. This money matter ministry. It's not today I knew what to do concerning. Now, there are different things in ministry, all right? But I'm just going to explain something. A lot of people, why they do what they do financially in ministry is because pressure to succeed. Are you getting my point? My own revelation is not about how God will bring money. That one is true. It's there. I knew I would pray, God will answer. But I knew that if he doesn't send money, I won't do it. I have that confidence. I had it in my soul long ago. I'm not called to ministry to impress anybody. The only thing I knew I had to do was to write my teachings that if I, listen, let me ask my wife, this is not a joke. If all of you didn't come here, only she will hear all these teachings. Poor girl, she married me. That is, and I say, why are you disturbing me? I'll put a tape recorder there. If you buy Man on Assignment, understand the New Covenant, walking the will of God, those tapes were preached to Joy, my wife, Deji, maybe about 5 or 6 people. I think, yes. Were you there? There's Ujuku, him, Brown. No, a few people. Just sit down here. And listen to me. I was content to preach to only them. But if the microphone, there were times, you guys remember, I had 2 microphones. One to the recorder, one to the speaker. Because for me, I just must record this somewhere. After that, I let it go. I'm not called to perform to impress anybody. Believe me, that's one of the revelations I came into ministry with. It makes my life easy. It makes my life easy. You will go into politics with your own revelation like that. Like I told you, one of them is using that my own mentality. God didn't say win, he said contest. He didn't say win, he said campaign. He didn't say win. is when you have contested and you have campaigned, I will either make you win or not. You understand my point? When I want you to win, there are different ways of winning. There is a one that, oh God, I don't have time. Let me not go into that area. There's a one which you don't have money. You are the underdog, and there are five people ahead of you. I kill five people one night. I next said they can't replace them. It's too late. You don't know God. You don't know him well. Go and ask Barack Obama. One day, had a man contest against him. I think Senatorial Post. The man was so rich. So rich. Obama woke up one morning, saw poster everywhere. Not his own. The opponent's own. What could he do? Then a few days later, the man's former wife woke up. I said, that man is a wicked soul. And in America, if your wife says you are wicked, you are dead politically. His wife granted an interview, the man's former wife, and abused the man thoroughly. That was the end of political career. The man resigned, leaving only one man standing. Look. Let me just... You know how Peter Obi became governor? It was because Ngige and Chris Uba began to fight. Those guys were doing so much bribery and corruption, even you won't know, even in judiciary. At the time, they fought themselves so much, there was just one man left standing. I've told you, Christians are not meant to struggle. They're just meant to do the right thing. He said, I don't have enough money to buy votes. Even if you did, don't buy. Tell them simply, when you go for political campaign, I don't have money to bribe you. Those who are bribing you will collect their money back from your money. Say it like that and go home. You might lose first time. Second, in fact, you may never win. But you have laid the foundation for the people coming after you. What is the name of this man? The man, the American civil rights, Martin Luther King Jr. He did not start the freedom fight. Go and hear the story or read the story. The church he pastored, they sacked the old man for fighting for equality. The church elders sacked the man. It was a 70-something-year-old pastor of that same church that Martin Luther King came to pastor, where he started all his political talk. The man used to shout in the church, fight what is wrong and everything. The deacons in the church got tired. And they sacked him. Saying that the man his activism is too much. He's causing too much trouble for them. Unfortunately, the young man they hired to replace him, Martin Luther King Jr., before he took the seat, he went and met the old man and asked him what happened. The man told him everything. The old man was dreaming dreams, and the young man caught the vision. And the first sermon the young man preached, the new trouble has been amplified. You know his first sermon? If you have nothing to die for, you have nothing to live for. The new trouble had come. We should have just left that old man. from that platform. All he did was talk. He didn't carry a gun, nothing. All he did was what? Talk. God set people up to amplify his voice. From what I even hear, that the Jews in America paid for most of those, noise they were making. The Jews were white people. And they saw a man talking. They brought out money. They were rich. So that man is talking. The black guys didn't have money. But God raised other people who funded the things. All the young man had to do was talk. I will do my spiritual, political, empowerment, and development strategy seminar later. What I'm just saying, this is my message for this time, is that in each season, there's a word you will get, and that will throw you to the next level. Are you getting my point? And listen, because you understand that, let me go over that again. That's what a doer of the word is. A doer of the word is a person who understands that this is how I will reach the next level. So he goes around searching for that word. What a lot of people will call doers are actually copiers of the word. Copiers of the word. Copiers of other people's actions. Kenneth Hagin said, before I got healed, I confessed this 16 times. So they confess their own 16 times. They are copying. That's not a doer. A doer knows that I need to get promoted. I've been in this level long enough. I have to move to another level. So the person settles down and says, God, I need a word that will throw me to another level. And until he hears that word, he does not move. Let me say one more thing, which Please, I know I'll take 5 more minutes. I wanted to walk off now, but I just need these 5 extra minutes to say this. Although we preach it here and there, how the word works, go and get the message. I said the word becomes what? Flesh. Let me say it again. The word becomes what? Flesh. God is not looking for those who we act so as to produce the word. He's looking for those who we believe and allow the word produce in them. Did you hear what I said? God is looking for those who we allow the word produce in them. Not those who we act so as to, you know, make the word produce. No, the word will produce in them because they are drinking it. Listen to me. The word becomes flesh and dwells amongst men. Anything you believe will eventually be manifested in your life. Did you hear what I said? It's just for you to endure till the end. What does it mean to endure? Difficult times will come that want to make you change your mind. Don't agree. Let me leave it there. I preached the message before. Go and listen to the message, how the word works. All right? I'm profiting from the word of God. I think I discussed some of those things in there. But that's a summary of everything. What God wants is, I will describe what I want to do, and then I will say to you, follow me. Walk with me. Be perfect in your walk with me, and I will make you into something. That is, God will look at Abraham. Now, I told you before that when Abraham was looking at stars, there are different ways you can look at it. Some people look and say, Abraham is seeing stars in heaven. I really don't. Well, my understanding is that that's not what happened to Abraham, even though that's what it appears on the surface. My understanding is that God took Abraham, not outside, physical outside, took him high into the heavens and told him to look. And Abraham looked and saw 6,000 years down the line. He saw 5,000 years down the line. He saw 4,000 years down the line. And he showed him the cities. He said, look at that city. He said, what is that? He said, we'll call it Los Angeles. Look at what it looks like at night. When a man sees an American city lit at night, it looks like a billion stars. I know what I'm telling you. When they see satellites in space, you don't know that those are stars? Human-made satellites too. When a man looks over what you and I call Middle East today, Dubai and all of that, you see the lights there. Abraham saw, oh God, I pray that you understand what I'm saying. Abraham saw what his descendants will be. He was believing for his descendants. So shall your seed be. That's what he said to him. Who's looking for accounting 200 billion non-entities? How would you like to have 200 billion non-entities as descendants? So will your descendants be. The man showed him the military forces that will arise out of his loins. The man believed. And he told him simply, walk with me, I will bring this thing to pass. Abraham said, that's all. Abraham did not have to learn how to build satellites. His descendants will do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you know what happened to you? Let me tell you the story of Yonggi Cho. Yonggi Cho says sometimes he sits on the board of their church in South Korea. He laughs in his mind. He was not too educated. All right? But on the board are professors, experienced scientists, journalists, all kinds of people. All you do like this, all of them go to one side. They'll go to one side. Anywhere he goes, they move to that direction. It's called, so shall your seed be. I don't know what I get my point. I don't have to be experienced in journalism. I will hire a journalist who will die for me if necessary. That's how the word works. The word becomes what? Flesh. The word becomes what? Flesh. Let me leave it there. Go and get to that message. But what I've just tried to say so far is, give your heart wholly to the word of God again. God is going to erase those who won't do it, but establish those who will do it. You hear what I said? With Christianity, it's all or none. The way the Bishop Oyedepo used to say that, he was quoting from Oswald J. Smith. It's either Lord of all, or it's not Lord at all. Are you getting my point? If you want to follow God, please follow him. A man came to me once and said that I should pray for him. I said, what do you do? He said, I help politicians. I said, what did you say? That when they enter into office, they will forget me. I said, may they continue to forget you. That's my human machinations. It does not work. I said, what do you do normally? He said, I'm a teacher. Where do you teach in secondary school? I said, go back to class and go and teach. God says, abide in the calling you were in when I called you.
I bind the position you were in when I called you. From that place, I will make into something you never imagined. You are following politicians. You're a thief yourself. Yes, that's how you are helping politicians when they get to the office. They will forget you. May they continually forget people like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Especially if they ever come to church. But if you abide where you were when God spoke to you, don't worry. Don't worry. The same politicians your friends are helping will come to you one day to beg for help. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's the way God works. So, are you getting what I'm saying? The Lord will bless you and produce his word in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What God is looking for is people who will allow his word to work in them. Listen to me, you will be great.
Amen.
Not because you struggled, but because it was imposed upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. From next Saturday, I'm going to begin to teach about on the doctrine of the appointed time. Please be around. You'll see what I'm talking about. A time will come, you will look, and you won't believe that this is you. It said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. Glory is that we did not know it was going to be like that. But by the time it became like that, we're so overwhelmed. That's what glory is. If it was predictable, what's the big deal? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. There's an appointed time for the dwelling. Amen?
Amen.
I said there's an appointed time for the dwelling.
Amen.
What you need to do is endure until that appointed time. God will give you things that will keep your soul occupied. You know, I've been teaching that for a while. Most of the things in your life are occupations for the season. Don't be tired of it. Oh God, please, I'm closing. You see, I'm going away. But most of the things are what? Occupations for the season. You have a job now, you don't like it too much. It's not fantastic. It's an occupation for the season. You're even doing ministry. It's not exactly what you expect. It's the occupation for what? This season. And you must be kept occupied for each season. You can't be idle. Are you getting my point? So enjoy the occupation for this season. What did I say? Enjoy the occupation for this season. Anyway, I will develop this thing from next Saturday. It's called the doctrine of the appointed time. There's an appointed time that God will pour a blessing upon you. And that time is getting crucially close for some people.
Amen.
It's dangerously close for a lot of people.
Amen.
If one Saturday you reach here, they say, Pastor Banky traveled, be afraid, I may not come back.